Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. It's a podcast where we just kind of take the pastor, the speaker, and just pull them aside and say, hey, if you had 10 more minutes, what would you have touched on? And my name is Tyler Henry, and I'm sitting here with...
Rafael Mukanda.
So, Rafael, if you had 10 more minutes on Sunday, what would you have talked on, expanded on, went different, in a different direction?
So for me, one of the biggest things that really stood out on Sunday was just really looking at just the whole Psalm 107. And I say this, like I said, if I was to write a book about what a church needs to look like, mm-hmm. it'll probably be like Psalm 107 is actually a very good base for that. I really wanted to spend a lot more time to really, really emphasize what really makes a community of the redeemed. Mm-hmm. And I think I really just kind of pointed out and just kind of showed everybody that like who the people who do not make it in that sum. Is that you actually find that the self-righteous are not there, the righteous are not there, the well-off people are not there. All of these people have something in common. They have a desperate situation in some way, shape, or form, right? So they do have like some desperation in some way, shape, or form, and this is what the gospel does. Like no matter how, whether you've grown up in a place where you've gotten everything and you have everything, you know, that's actually like where this last one where we were looking at, these are merchants. Mm-hmm. Merchants that are going in and they're making trades in the deep and they are, basically they're making money. They're doing everything. But the problem that's there is that... And that's actually now like where the problem, that the picture that we get there is a picture of maybe what we would say the older brother in the mm-hmm. prodigal son story. Mm-hmm. The older brother, the younger brother is the one like where the last kind of three of them that we discussed, at least maybe the last two of them, where the first one is like these guys are stuck in the desert. They're looking for a mm-hmm. home. So that's kind of most talking about like sometimes even like what I would say like maybe someone who's an orphan or someone really looking for belonging and they're just in a place that's dry and all that stuff. The picture there is at least like Hagar and Ishmael, mm-hmm. like where he cried in the desert and even the children of God, like they felt like the pillar by, fire by day, pillar by night, mm-hmm. like just really like cloud by day, sorry. They felt like they were shepherded through the desert because they were not alone, right? And then you see that those who are sitting in darkness, in chains, that's where you would find maybe some of your addicts today, people that are just really like they've gone in there and they're really just like they're chained and they're, and God breaks through the bronze gates and he comes through. And the last one is like they're afflicted because of even their own foolishness, right? And this last one, kind of like you're looking at it, these are people doing what we would say today, basically like what, like if you go on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere, like this is what's applauded. Man, you're getting it. Man, you're going out there. You are hustling. You're mm-hmm. doing all that stuff. But the issue that's there behind that, this is now where the big older brother kind of comes in. What's behind that? Like the older brother is working and he wants to earn his father's love. Right? He wants to earn earn the inheritance, right, mm-hmm. brother. And his true colors show up when the young brother comes up and he's like, "You never threw me a party. I've been here working for you all along. You never threw me a party." And that's actually where I think this last one has a lot more danger involved in it, because most of those people are usually in comfort.
Yeah.
The merchants going, they're usually in comfort. And then they get shocked when the storm comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That storm, like actually in there, it says God sent a storm. Because they were out there looking for what I would say security, significance, and satisfaction in other places other than God.
Mm-hmm.
And then so there, and this is what the prodigal older brother, what I would say, it's not only the prodigal younger brother, the prodigal older brother was working in the house. Basically, his main thing was like, the old younger brother was like, "Give me my money. I wish you were dead. I'm out." And the older brother was like, "I'm waiting for you to die so I can get my stuff too." So they both were somehow lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually like that kind of lostness is what I get concerned about sometimes the most when it comes, because that lostness affects even the best of saints in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can hide under workaholism, but at the same time, like really at the end of the day, when the storm comes and our 401k is threatened, our security is threatened, you know, fire engulfs what we have,
mm-hmm.
the stock market crashes, sickness comes in and all that, all of a sudden, those are the people, you're an apologist, those are the people that end up so mad at God.
Yeah.
They get mad at mm-hmm. God. Why are they mad at God? Because all of a sudden, a ton of times their idol of comfort and control,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even approval, comfort in terms of like you wanted, you thought the blessed life. This is where prosperity gospel kind of drives into this, like the blessed life has no trials or anything, mm-hmm. and then approval, man, if I can only be this, that's when God will be okay with me, I will be okay with me, if others will be okay with me, and then maybe control, you really want to control how you are seen and all that stuff, and then maybe sickness comes in, mm-hmm. some storm comes in, and then what it reveals that like, hey, maybe you prized that more than God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then so what that does is that like, the sad part about the older brother is that he ends up outside of the celebration.
Yeah.
He's the one basically like, in that passage, you just kind of imagine him. He basically like, that is the highest form of dishonor as well. When dad is saying, come, dad is begging him to come in. And he's like, you should have thrown it. And this, your mm-hmm. son showed up. He squandered everything. Like, how could you, mm-hmm. dad? It's almost as if he's poking a finger on him. I think at the end of the day, that's what scares me sometimes, that like, The self-righteous are the ones that end up not making it into the like, that's actually like, mm-hmm. we're in because we think we've already got it. We're yeah. more the day Pharisees. So I would really just push more and just say, hey, can you read this last one, this one that's talking about merchants? What is it that you've now found security, identity, and satisfaction mm-hmm. and all that in? That then, if you were to lose it, your whole life would collapse.
Yeah.
And then so that's like, when you're reading that, it's like they staggered around, they did all that stuff. But you know what? The nice part about the whole text is that what saved the desert dweller, the prisoner in chains, the fool who's afflicted, and the merchant is the same thing. And they cried to the Lord, meaning that there's mm-hmm. no other way. There's no special grace for this. It's the same grace for every single person. I think that's actually also what becomes an obstacle to community. because a ton of times we're like, man, my story is not like that. But yet, actually, like, you know, I was so amazed at just listening at our regroup. Somebody actually shared, man, like, I was climbing the ladder. I was doing that. But man, I realized that, like, God was not in this. Mm-hmm. And they had to actually eventually take a pay cut and do a job that ended up satisfying them and pleasing God instead of actually being a jerk out in the workforce, mm-hmm. climbing the ladder and climbing the approval ladder, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, that's really just what I would say. And just really just my main thing as well is that, like, and I tied it together and said, these are people also that are now gathering together, worshiping together. That's what a true church is meant to look like.
Yeah.
Where we're very like, our stories don't have to look alike. We don't have to sound alike. Mm-hmm. We don't have to. But yet, man, we are the redeemed of the Lord, saying so. It's just a great picture. And that's my dream for our church. Mm-hmm. That our church literally would not look at someone who's coming from, who's a desert dweller, who's coming in, or someone who's from a prisoner in chains, or someone who's like, oh man, they're uppity and they've got the class and all that, and just see beyond all that. Like Paul said, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, mm-hmm. because we have resolved that one has died, all have died, Christ, and then now we just want to see everybody become a new creation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
Well, and I think that's really, especially bringing like the prodigal son into it, like everybody wants to say, and whenever we read it at first glance, it's like, oh, this is about like the son that goes out and does something.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like, it maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, maybe just like equally, it's about the son that stays.
Oh,
there's
equally,
not a whole,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
not a whole lot mm-hmm. said about him, but mm-hmm. not a whole lot needs to be said.
Yeah.
It's almost like an argument from silence.
Oh, yeah.
Like he,
there you
know,
go.
Mm-hmm. Jesus isn't. So for those of you that don't know what the argument of silence or argument from silence is you are either arguing for or against something
mm.
by not bringing it up, but talking about its opposite.
Mm. Mm.
So talking about the son that went away, he's just as much saying something about that son that went away, but also about the son that stayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it and, all go good.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, and it's actually very simple. Like, it's the beginning of Luke 15. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, and this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They were complaining. Mm-hmm. What's the complaint of the older brother at the end?
He was there the entire time.
Yeah, I was there the entire time. But he went, he squandered it mm-hmm. all, and literally he is complaining about. And so at the end of the day, like, that's Jesus. That's Jesus doing some really, really slick arguing from silence.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It's like, he just, and the whole story is a cliffhanger too. Because mm-hmm. literally, like, the whole thing is like, you know, son, he said to him, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we have had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he's found. That's it.
And then chapter 16 comes in and is like, you know what, guys? Just keep going. I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's one
actually,
of those
keep
things
listening as you're walking out.
Yeah, yeah.
Walking out.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, Jesus was doing some heavy work on this.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway,
that's
that. Like, but at the end of the day, I think that's now like what really begins to. I urge everyone to join a home group, get into, listen to stories that are not like yours, and everything that, as we do that, you know, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The beauty of the whole Luke 15 is that mm-hmm. there's joy in heaven when sinners repent. Mm-hmm. And then also, that's actually, we get to share in that joy as a church.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a really good segue into this little section from Gus.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to play this at the very end in a few seconds. And guys, I just want to second this. I've ever since coming to City Church, I've been involved with a home group. I've gone to a couple, and it's been some of the highlight, like, other than Sunday, and it's like one of the highlights of my week. It just is so refreshing being able to be with people in community and just sit down, share a meal, or
cup of coffee or whatever it is and just get to know people and just exercise community really well. So guys, listen to this from Gus and Rafael. Thank you so much and have a good week, guys. God bless.
God bless.
Hey, City Church, Pastor Gus here, and I want to take a minute to encourage you to join a home group. Now, when you consider joining something, often the question that is asked is why? And so first, our purpose and goal of our home groups here at City Church is to help experience the gospel. Our Bible studies, our church services, our CCI classes, they teach the gospel, but our home groups are main purpose is to help you experience the gospel, to immerse you in the gospel. Now, that may still be a little confusing, so to help put it another way, much of our culture is shame-centered. You know, they ask, what have you done? They ask about your past, and depending on your answers, could change how you're viewed. In a gospel-centered community, in a community that is immersed in the gospel, your past, what you've done is not the center, but Christ and what he's done is the center. And that's really what a redeemed community is all about. It's not the banner that used to describe you. It's Christ's banner that is now over you and helps define you. And if there's one thing that I could ask for you to do over this next year is to just try a home group. Now, we're not perfect. We're still striving to be better and better at this. So please be gracious to us as we're trying to be gracious to each other. So we ask that, just try one. And if that one doesn't fit, that time doesn't fit, if the dynamics aren't exactly to your liking, try another one. There are so many we have 8 home groups this year on different nights, different locations. All of them are open to you to try. And so please, we ask that you would try one, try a few, and please just open yourself to a gospel-centered community.